Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars.
Recording.
Let me know what Jupiter is like. What?
Oh. I said recording in progress.
Oh, okay. Well, welcome everybody to the Morning Gaming Show. I'm your host, the J-Dog, and with me is always my co-host, the Rim Job.
It's the rim job.
Rim job. What's going on?
Once again, Steve, hot on the mic.
Is it too close?
Never learn. You never learn.
No, just this thing that sits on my head. So
it sits on your head.
Yeah.
So hey, everybody, welcome.
Sometimes the arm goes in front of my face instead of to the side. So whenever you think I'm hot on the mic, it's because the mic is directly in front of my mouth. So I have to readjust the headset so that the mic is facing forward.
We are in 2021, sir. The louder you are, the righter you are. The more correct you are.
I guess, correct. I guess in that case, you're right. So that means that I'm right.
Exactly. So you just got to be the loudest person on TV and then just be like, no, my supplements do work. It blocks out the sigma radiation.
It blocks out sigma males.
Sigma males. I don't even know what a sigma male is.
All right. So that's the gag. It's like, what is a sigma male? And is it truly better than alpha? Yeah. It's like the sigma grind set is like you're so much of an alpha male, you're beyond alpha male, you're a sigma male.
Oh, okay. So I am definitely not a sigma male.
I'm a scrimblo male.
I'm gonna go with a theta male, just because that's my favorite Greek letter, theta.
I see.
Yeah, it's a fun letter to write because it's a circle with a line through it.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I know that now.
Yeah. I one time was so bored in a class in high school that I memorized the entire Greek alphabet because it was on the wall. And I would rather spend my time doing that than actually paying attention in that class. So I can recite and write the entire Greek alphabet. So
I've never even seen the Greek alphabet.
No? Really?
I mean, other than alpha, beta, omega.
Yeah. Alpha, beta, gamma, delta,
epsilon,
theta, iota, kappa, lambda, mu, nu, z, omicron, pyro, sigma, tau, upsilon, phi, chi, psi, omega.
All right, then.
Yeah. The only thing that it's useful for on my end is when I go to the museum see like a Greek statue and they'll have like a name carved in it. I'll be like, oh, I could read that name. And that's it. That's all I can do.
I like it. I mean, also you can paint symbols with no reference on your space marines.
That's true. And you're Greek too. So it's like, you should know that. Flocky.
Gabagool. Over here.
I am capable. Yeah, the Greek letters is one of the most useless things that I know, because it's like it's only used in literally one country in the world, Greece. So
yes,
yeah. And then you get in the Greek mindset when you're reading like Greek names at the museum. You're like, oh, this person's name is Aristophanes or whatever. And then you get home and you're like, Testicles. Basically. Anything that ends in the cles, you can just pronounce in the Greek way. So bicycles.
Tell me I'm wrong. It's Greek. Tell me I'm wrong.
It's Greek. Greek. Bicycle invented by Greek men. Tell me I'm wrong. Yeah. Why else call it bicycles?
Yes, it's bicycles.
I don't that's the worst Greek impression I've ever done in my life. I don't know.
It's good enough.
That's my standard Southern Europe, like you buy.
Hey, you interested in my slaves, you buy.
You interested in grape leaves wrapped around meat?
No Jedi mind trick work on me. Only money.
Only money. No, he was Jewish.
Yeah, I mean, he had a fucking yarmulke, for God's sakes.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't really a yarmulke. It was a little bigger.
Come on, bro.
Yeah, it was big. I mean, I'm sure, like when George Lucas designed it for the movie, it was like a yarmulke, and everyone was like, "George, we can't do this." I mean, like, we're normally like all yes men, but there was one guy who was like, who they had to like they had to draw straws to see who'd be the guy who'd be like, "George, we can't do that."
George, we have to add a rim to the hat.
Yes, we have to add a rim to the hat.
Because if you look, that's literally what it is. It's a yarmulke with a rim.
The neighborhood that I'm working at right now is a not heavily Jewish neighborhood, but it has a large Jewish population. And the other day I was there was a soft lockdown at the school, which is just there was something in the neighborhood going on. And then, you know, so of course everyone, you know, is relatively panicked, and it wasn't anything too crazy, but there was so after it was lifted, I went outside to go get my lunch for the day. And of course, like this entire time, there was a Jewish softball game going on in the Park District. I was like, oh, that's nice.
It's lovely.
Yeah. Lovely. I don't know, that two very weird different things, but I just thought it was funny that after the soft lockdown, you get out there and it's like, were people upset about the Jewish people playing softball?
I like it.
Anyway, of course not. So I wanted to talk about some big RPG news.
All right, I'm ready.
We kind of previewed this a little bit, but Morkbork is coming out with a sci-fi edition.
Morkbork.
Yeah, it's they are coming out with a sci-fi game called Cyborg. Cy_Borg.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's super cool. Yep. It looks grimdark.
Yeah, I mean, that's dope as shit. We love Morkbork here.
Yes. We I like the idea and the execution of Morkbork. I've just never played it and or looked at the rules, so.
You should. It's really simple. It's good. It's a really good game.
I know Mick, who's a listener of the podcast, definitely loves my style.
Yeah, it's definitely my style. It's a really good game. It's got I mean, it's old school style, so you know it's dangerous. Players can die. You know, it's actually
dangerous.
Yes, like Darkwing once said, but it's actually a real game. You know, like you. I think that's it's kind of funny because I've now decided that's how I'm going to refer to RPGs. They're either real games or D&D.
Okay.
Because a game has rules and stakes and like actual challenge.
You see, your game has rules and stakes.
Rules. You see.
You turned a little Cosby there for a second.
You see, Billy, a game has rules. A game has stakes. You got to understand. It's kind of like, game is kind of like a Jell-O pudding pot.
No. Coca-Cola.
It looks like a Coca-Cola. Oh, it's like Kodak film. It'll be around forever.
No, we're gonna play my game with four old jazz musicians. Continue.
So D&D doesn't have that because D&D has the weird, like, it's so slanted towards player enjoyment above all. It takes away like any risk and it's actually created a situation where people get really butthurt if their character dies.
Yeah. I think that's the saddest part of the new D&D.
And to be fair, like the game is designed to set them up in a way where it's like, yeah, your character's not going to die unless you want your character to die.
Yeah.
That's the way, you want to have a cool heroic sacrifice moment? Okay. Yeah. That's definitely like, that's something that we can do in D&D. Will your character ever just randomly die? It's pretty unlikely.
It's like, in order for a character to die, it has to be, it's that meme of from Toy Story of the kid going, I don't want to play with you anymore. Like, right, just throwing his player sheet into the garbage.
Yeah. Yeah, it has to be. It's like too intentional.
Yeah, exactly. Morkbork, you okay there?
Yeah, I'm smoking.
Okay. The Morkbork sci-fi game is coming out soon. I'm not exactly sure when the exact launch is. It might even have already happened. It was when I looked about it like right after our podcast last time and it popped up. It kicks off November 13th. So you can look for that. So that's next weekend.
It's gonna be on Kickstarter.
It does say, let's see. It just says, oh yeah, Kickstarter. Yeah. It's going to be on Kickstarter.
Nice. We will shill that. We will shill that.
Of course. And also, currently right now, these guys aren't exactly attached to Morkborg, but there's a Kickstarter that's already out currently. It's just like a little addition called The Plagued Crypt of Helvete.
That sounds awesome.
On Kickstarter, yeah. It's done by a third party, but it's when a horrible plagued beast invades Galgenbeck, the party takes a bounty to seek out the source in the doomed forests of the north. They happen upon a diseased demon in a plague crypt that may be more trouble than they bargained for.
I mean, that sounds dope as hell.
The dark fantasy adventure inspired by Morkborg's black metal EOSR ethos, The Plague Crypt of Helvete, is a one-shot third-party adventure meant to introduce players to the RPG, but it can also be incorporated into an existing setting.
I mean, that sounds dope.
Yeah, it's on Kickstarter. It's got like a couple weeks, like 3 weeks to go. So it'll be up there for a while if you want to check it out. And of course, it's done in the Total Morkborg style, so it's got all the comic stylings to it. And you can even get a T-shirt.
Oh, we'll have to shill that too.
Yeah, and an exclusive Kickstarter mini mock-up, which
is it old crappy style?
The mini's not that great.
But... I mean, is it old crappy style?
It's like. Yeah, it looks like the CD generated preview looks like Lawnmower Man.
Okay.
So it's not something that you're like really like, ah. And as I always say, like, if you're gonna offer a mini and you're gonna show off a mini, get a professional to paint the mini. Don't paint it yourself. Have a painted mini. Yeah. Well, you're gonna have a painted mini, but if you're gonna have a painted mini, get it painted by a professional.
I gotcha. Yeah, I actually really like the old. There's a few I've seen around of like old style models.
Yeah.
I really like those. Like, I really like those for the old school role playing feeling too. Cool. I think they kind of like add just like add to the game.
Yeah.
Having like one of those old ass like 80s looking minis where it's always like the static pose or like the Jess Goodwin pose.
So I was actually thinking about this the other day, and I'm glad you brought it up because I totally had forgotten about this. But one of the things I was thinking about was how I prefer for RPG stuff, unpainted, old school grenadier minis, right?
Or just metal stuff, metal on the table.
Right. I mean, you could clean it up, you know, clean off the mold lines and shit like that, so it stands nice and everything like that. But I think there's something to be said for the unpainted metal aesthetic, maybe even hitting it with a little bit of black ink. You know what I'm saying? Not black wash, black ink.
Ink, yes.
You have to go back and get old school black
ink. Because that busts the... I used to do that. That makes the details dope.
It makes the details pop. But
I had a regiment of fucking metal... I don't remember what company they were from, but I bought a regiment of metal full plate mail wearing swordsmen, and they were metal and in one piece, and I legit just ink washed them and did a base, and people were like, wow, those figures look great, the metal looks awesome, and I'm like,
hey. There's no actual paint jobs on it, but I was thinking about it, and we were going back even earlier what we're talking about Greek statues. It's like, why does everybody like Greek statues now? Because they're unpainted. You know why? Because most of them were painted by amateurs and they look like turd. So it's like you have these, like, it's like when you go to a gaming store and you see, like, you know, the average painted mini and you're just like, ugh. But you know what? Good for them for trying. It's the same way with ancient Greek art. You're like, ugh. But good for them for trying regardless. But let's just stick with the unpainted stuff because it just has a classic look. You know? So it's like whenever I rescue old like grenadier minis, I will clean them off and make sure that they are all, you know, taken care of. But I'm not a big fan of the paint of old school painted. Just like, let's have the metal, maybe ink wash it a little bit just to make the details pop, and you'll be fine for our D&D minis.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know where I was on that. I was just thinking. Oh no, but actually we the big thing that I would that I've been talking about, and I think that you'd be an interesting person to consult on this, is I was thinking and I had a game right after we recorded last week. And I was talking with the player group.
Yes, your Herbert West Reanimator game.
My
right?
Herbert West Reanimator, which actually ran fairly well. What was great about it was I really just didn't do anything. I just sent the dean to do all my fighting, and it worked really well. And I would heal the party in the back.
That's great.
Yeah. But it was also very much more role playing of a game. So it was Halloween themed. So we went to a couple different haunted houses, haunted house parties. And one of the houses was an Eyes Wide Shut orgy going on there.
Nice. Nice.
So luckily the dean couldn't get aroused because he's technically undead. So we did have to roll for arousal, which was weird.
Saved by my inability to get a boner.
Yes. Saved by my inability. I did get aroused, and I was like, uh-oh, I have an erection. But anyway, I was talking with the group, and I was like, so what do you guys think about the new edition shift? And they're like, what do you mean? And I was like, well, it's going to be like they're coming out with a new edition of D&D. And I said, they say it's going to be compatible with this edition, but they're calling it like 5.5, but really it's kind of like a sixth edition. And they were really confused by this. And they're like, what do you mean? And I was like, well, I mean, the nice thing is that you're going to be able to find all of the fifth edition books cheap now. So if you want to keep playing fifth edition, you could just find all the books. And they're like, well, why would people play a new edition when they have all these books? It's like, so confused by the switch to a new edition of a game. And that made me think that this is going to be the largest gaming edition switch of all time. Any game, you name that game, this is the biggest edition switch. Though you can
I think they think there's like an estimated 50 million D&D players.
Yeah. And you know, you can say like, well, you know, Magic has a cycle and everything. It doesn't, that's not that, no, that's the different thing altogether. That's not really Magic doesn't do edition switches. Magic has never had like a second edition of Magic. Technically, yes, but never really. But yeah, out of any game out there, 50 million people are now going to be super like, and no one's talking them through this. Like, there should be like a hotline for like, what does it mean to have a new edition of a game? And it's like, and I'm sitting there as the old salt. Like, I feel like Quint from Jaws sitting there talking about it. Like, $500 went into this game. $500 went out of it.
Got a new edition. I looked at the new edition's eyes, their black soulless eyes.
Like a devil's eyes.
Like a devil's eyes.
I know. Like, you announce that there's a new edition, everybody's like, well, what does that mean? And I'm sitting there in the back, like, scratching my nails against the chalkboard, like,
hey, I
new edition for you.
I know what
free PDFs.
I know what a new edition means.
I'll get you your new edition for $150. clean it and gut it for you for $300.
Yes.
Yeah. You said like Wizards and their Coast must be shitting their pants right now.
Yes. Yes, they are. No question.
I wonder how many of the, well, I take it back. There are certain things that are going to do this. Like, one thing for sure is they are going to get the guys from Critical Role and all those other people just to play the new edition.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So people will get on board and be like, oh, a new edition. This is so much better to play. Like, that's what they're going to say on Critical Role or whatever Joe Manganiello show is and all other ones. They're going to get paid.
Absolutely. You're going to see all of them just like come out of the gates with their, you know, their episodes of testing the new edition with their stupid soy jack face reactions on the thumbnail.
not us with our Sigma male facial reactions.
Our Sigma male grind set doesn't allow us to put facial reactions in the thumbnail. There's no facial reactions in the thumbnail. That's the Sigma grind set.
It's like it's a Sigma male holding like Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition, Soyjack 5.5 players, And then there's us, which is like the Chad players holding on to like our D&D 2E box set.
Yes. Yes. It's the 2E box set. I've got an Al-Kadim box set.
Yeah. It's like the true Chad.
Yeah. No, the Giga Chads were like Giga the, Chads, like,
yes.
Where it's like the crazy muscles on muscles on muscles and like the chin that's like a literal box.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I'll have an Al-Kadim and a Planescape Torment box.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can have the classic the classic red box.
Yeah, the classic red box going out. Exactly. It's like the Giga Chad 2E players.
Yes. Dun, 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 dun. Yes, that's exactly right.
So and Wizards is keeping this whole edition switch really close to the chest. They're not previewing anything. Especially, they've just released, I want to say, two new books. They released like a Guide to Dragons and a Winter
Carnival. There's the Fizban's Guide to Dragons and then the Wild Beyond the Witchlight.
The Wild Beyond the Witchlight, though, is an actual like it's a not a supplement. It's a it's a campaign, right? It's an actual
it's an adventure. It's an adventure.
That's what I was looking for.
Yeah, it has rabbit folk and like a weird pixie dragon.
Fucking furries. All D&D does is fucking furries. I swear to Christ.
Well, I mean, it's a pretty easy thing. You can just use an IP because you just call them something different.
Yeah. So I mean, you're right. I find it funny that like 2E had so many different player and so many different things that you could be in so many different classes that you could be, right? So many different races, so many different classes. And 5E has really only added one class throughout the entire run of 5th Ed. Granted, 5E works more with like subclasses than anything. I just find it so weird that they only have those classes. I don't know. It's just
don't look at me, man.
Yeah, like, I'm gonna look. I think someone commented that we're looking too much stuff up on the internet as we're doing this now remotely. But whatever, they can suck my dick. Suck it.
Through the internet.
Yeah, exactly. Let me see. Okay, so D&D 2E. I'm looking for a list, motherfuckers. Well, here's the races that you could play. Holy shit, that's a lot of races.
Yeah, well, there was a ton because D&D 2E had like absolute shit tons of supplement books, and there was tons of new races. Or you know, every plane had a bunch of races play, and then you throw Planescape in there. And
this is general AD&D and Spelljammer.
Yes, we gotta have Spelljammer.
Would you like to be a Greyhawk? Would you like to be a Greyhawk half dragon as your race?
No.
Oh man, look at all these shit. My god, that's a lot of races. Aquatic races alone, there's like 12. You can be a crab man, Steve. I'm gonna be a crab man. Holy shit.
You know what's weird though? I don't think that ever really caught on.
What, crab man?
Yeah, crab man.
I think we're gonna have a crab man president someday. I'm all for it. Yeah, there's a Council of Worms. Jesus, that was a shitty supplement. Anyway, no, I'm just looking at there's a lot of fucking races in that 2E. But anyway, it doesn't really matter in the long run. I actually think it's better that they do the subclasses. The problem is that when you have that class and you have the subclasses, it's really hard to kind of like search out the subclass that you want to be. There's no like really good way of organizing that. Like when I was putting together an alchemist, I was like, how will I do an alchemist? I had to look up alchemist, see that it was a subclass for the artificer, and then find out through the books on how to get that artificer loaded up. It was actually kind of difficult to do, but I think that since I am a veteran player, so to speak, I'm not really that veteran of a player. It's not like I'm that good. I've played long enough where I know that these are the different types of classes. It was difficult for me to find tailor what I wanted to play. I think with some people, they're like, I'm going to tailor my character, you know, as I go along to fit play style. But I'm like, no, I want a very specific thing and to play a very specific thing. I have to look up how that's going to work out. And it was, a pain in the ass for fifth edition, let me tell you that. I'm sure it would be a pain in the ass for second edition, because it would be like, it's in this obscure book, you know, that was only released in 1991. It was in Steve's Bunghole Casserole Adventure for second edition. Here's how you play a pastry chef in AT&T second edition. Okay, sweet.
I think all of the extra races didn't quite catch on in second edition because nobody had all the books.
Yeah, I mean, you're very much right. And AD&D second edition, one of the best things that they had were the red books that would be like, okay, here's your dwarf book, here's your halfling book, here's your elf book. My daughter's playing an elf right now in a little campaign. She's doing it through the library. And I was like, oh, you should look at this book. It's the red book. It's got everything you ever wanted to know about elves in it. And she's like, well, whatever, Dad. Yeah. I was like, you could play a dark elf. You could play a light elf, a wood elf, a gray elf. And she's just like, no, I'm an elf.
You got hit with a Sigma grind set.
I did get hit with that Sigma grind set.
I'm an elf.
I'm an elf. Ooh, yeah. You could also play Mongrel Man.
Mongrel Man.
Mongrel Man.
I think if I remember correctly, Mongrel Man is are dudes who are a bunch of strapped together, weird looking motley assortment of animals. Like, yes, if I'm not mistaken, that's Mongrel Man. They're like what you could have, like an elephant's trunk and then like a dog leg.
They totally look like a chimera kind of, but like not really chimera-ish, where like a true chimera will be like, I have a goat's head and a fucking scorpion's tail and like the legs of a lion. This is just like a fucking mishmash of dudes. Like,
yeah, it's a mess.
Yeah, but it's cool.
I knew exactly what a mongrel man was. I've got some D&D cred.
I would do a mongrel man and name him like Turd, right? and like have Turd always speak in the third person, like, yes, 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 Turd will get that for you. Turd will get that for you.
God, that's the worst.
I kind of like this. See, 2E is so much better than fucking 5E. You get to play mongrel men.
I like that mongrel, like that could be the like the court case. Like we prosecute D&D 5th edition for being a inferior edition. And then the judge is like, all right, I trust you have assembled enough evidence to support this claim that your second edition client is the superior edition in every way, so on and so forth. And I just go, yes, Your Honor. I just bring up the giant suitcase. Open it up, and it's just the picture of the mongrel man.
It's just a picture of the mongrel. And the judge is like, yeah, holy fuck, this is sweet.
Yeah, he's like, God damn, that's fucking sweet. This is fucking sweet as shit. He's like, I'm ruling in favor of second edition.
No. It's like you hear the click of the briefcase click. Holy fucking shit. Case is missed.
Yes. Yes.
He breathlessly whispers.
Yes, perfect.
Oh yeah, I just like the idea of like the Wapner music in the background, the people's womp, court music.
Womp.
Yeah.
Womp, 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 womp.
Joe and Steve say that D&D Second Edition is the best. 50 million other players say no.
Womp, womp, womp.
Today we're gonna find out who's correct, Don. The D&D court.
Womp, womp, womp.
All rise for his honor, the corpse of Gary Gygax. Yes, yes, yes. The reanimated corpse of Gary Gygax. I'm sorry, Your Honor.
It's good. It's excellent.
Well, Gary Gygax Jr., please refrain from making racist comments in the gallery.
He's already going on another Twitter rant.
We could do like Law and Order D&D, where it's like, you know, we get the Lenny Briscoe and Jack, God, I can't remember his name. Fuck. Lenny Briscoe and fuck. Can't remember the classic Law and Order duo.
Oh, I don't remember.
But anyway, we could have them as the investigating the case. Like, you know, Lenny's walking around looking at the D&D 5th Ed playstyle, and he's just like, what the fuck is this shit? Ice cubes in the background, like, so wait a minute, you're saying that people play D&D and D&D stands for Dungeons and Dragons and you don't actually have to have dungeons or dragons in your game? Like, yes. Yes, Ice-T, absolutely.
I love Ice-T.
I love Law and Order. It's the stupidest show on television.
It really is, but it's riveting. How is that? How does that work?
Because it's divided up so perfectly for a one-hour show. You get a half-hour cop show and a half-hour courtroom drama, so you don't have too much of either. In the classic episodes, at least. I haven't watched it in years. I don't even know if it's still on.
SVU is definitely still on.
I don't like SVU because that's the Rape and Dead Baby show, and I don't like watching the Rape and Dead Baby show.
There's like an absolute like staggering amount of
spinoffs.
I don't know how to the Dick Wolfiverse.
Dick Wolfiverse.
There's like a shit ton of Dick Wolfiverse shows that exists now. So like Law and Order is not really like, it's just SVU, but there's also like Chicago Fire and Chicago PD.
I don't think that those are part of the Dick Wolfiverse.
They absolutely 100% are, because there's been multiple crossovers between Chicago Fire, Chicago PD, and Law and Order SVU. There was actually a really cool, like when it was just Chicago Fire and Chicago PD wasn't out yet. Like they were starting to rev up to like release Chicago PD. There was actually a really fucking cool serial killer crossover thing where a serial killer came from SVU and showed up in Chicago Fire, and then the cops from SVU showed up in Chicago Fire to look for their serial killer, and it was really cool.
So I'm not 100% sure on this, but is it only the NBC shows, or is like FBI and FBI Most Wanted also included on this? Because they're on CBS and FBI International. Sorry.
I don't know about the FBI shows.
Okay. Because so that's Law and Order, Law and Order Special Victims Unit, Law and Order Criminal Intent, Law and Order Trial by Jury, as well as Conviction, Law and Order UK, Law and Order LA, Chicago Fire, Chicago PD, Chicago Med, and Chicago Justice, as well as Law & Order True Crime and Law & Order Organized Crime.
There you go.
Holy shit, that's a lot of shows.
It's a lot of shows.
I don't know if I mentioned this on the podcast before, but there really should be a Chicago teacher, because if anybody's from Chicago and, you know, is familiar with the Chicago shows, you will know that every Chicago teacher's office is basically just a bunch of people going, hey, you watched Chicago Fire last night? Yeah, that's crazy. So that's what Chicago teacher would be. Would just be the teacher's office of people talking about the Chicago shows.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's like, what? And I take the, you know, it's only really like the kind of shitty South Side people, like the people, this is like way deep Chicago cuts for people. So welcome to our world. So it's like the far South. It's like the Beverly area or, you know, around that South Side, like the cop neighborhoods of Chicago. Mm. So if people don't know, Chicago, you are required to live inside the city limits if you are a police officer or a teacher or a firefighter, right? There's certain exceptions, but for cops and firefighters, they have to live within the city limits of Chicago. So there are cop neighborhoods in Chicago. And one of them is like Beverly, and it's a far South Side neighborhood. And it's very, very, it's a nice neighborhood, but it's kind of like that white trashy kind of nice, where it's like a bunch of people, but they all like just sit on their lawns and eat big sandwiches the entire time, you know?
Eat big sandwiches and stare daggers at you while they're chewing the sandwich?
Yeah, pretty much like that. They're like, oh, I don't know about this guy. He doesn't look like he belongs in Beverly.
This guy doesn't look like a good guy. Doesn't
look like a good guy. They always got like Bears flags hanging outside their house. And, you know, occasionally someone will move in and put up like a flag of something like a... another football team. Like, it doesn't have to even be like Green Bay, which is the hated team of the Chicago Bears fans.
Yes, the hated rivals.
Someone would put up like New Orleans Saints flag, and the next day I'll be like, hey, I see you got a Saints flag up there. Yeah, from New Orleans. A lot of people died in New Orleans. A lot of unsolved crimes. I don't know if I'd advertise that if I were you. You know? And you're like, officer, would you like to climb these stairs to come and talk with me more face to face? Nah, that's okay. I had a kind of I had to take a breather just walking up here.
It's I gotta go get a Johnny's beef combo. So no, I'm gonna pass on the stairs.
You know, I gotta say that this beef sandwich was not made for walking. It's more of a standing sandwich. So it doesn't really hold together.
I think Lou's got a sitting sandwich.
Anyways, I don't really remember why I came up here, so I'm just gonna go.
I'll talk to you later. Go Bears.
Go Bears.
Talk to you later. Go Bears.
And then the wife is like, "Did you talk to him?" "Yeah, I talked to him. He's from New Orleans, but he seems like a good guy." It's all right. Oh, yeah. It's all right. They call up everybody saying it's all right. They still have their like phones that are like, you know, house phones, not even cell phones.
Yes, landlines. Absolutely. The land and one of them's definitely got the Garfield one.
Yeah. You want to go to Portillo's tonight? Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, they're not as good since they changed.
Yeah, exactly. That's another deep cut Chicago insider thing for you is Portillo's recently got sold, and so now they're on the downslide. I still think they're decent. I like Ollie.
They're not as good since they got changed, you know.
Yeah. Got changed since they got bought up.
They got bought up, Joe. We're all getting bought up. We're all getting used up. Everything's gonna dry up. Everything's gonna fuck up.
I went to DeCola's fish market and got some tilapia. Tilapia, eh? That's a flavorful fish.
Oh, look at you getting fancy with the, what'd you say it was? A tilapia?
Now you're getting on the East Coast. You're on East Coast time right now.
It's fine.
Oh, God. Yeah, this is what I have to listen to at the teachers' lounges. They love the fucking Chicago shows. Absolutely adore them. I hate them because no matter where you go in Chicago, you're going to have to get rerouted because they're filming some fucking Chicago show somewhere on the streets. And it's not even like they're filming the stars. They're just doing pickup shots of like the fucking LaSalle, or not even LaSalle. They're doing like pickup shots around fucking museum campus. And you're just like, what the fuck are you filming over here? There's no fire that's going to happen on the Chicago campus. Why are you filming Chicago fire here?
What the fuck are you doing?
Hey.
Hey, you guys, what the fuck are you doing?
With Chicago PD. They're going to go arrest a person over at the Adler Planetarium, apparently.
Okay. Well, as long as we can go get our sausage, you know.
There's no sausage by the Adler. Come on.
You know, I meant after, you know. Or we could go to Chinatown, hit up Seven Treasures.
Chinatown. That's relatively closer, but not by much. So anyway, back to gaming stuff.
And gaming.
What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. So Games Workshop, I wanted to talk a little bit about how we've talked on this podcast before that Games Workshop's big sales really come from their box games, right? That's what people really fucking like buying. And I'm not even like starter sets, but just anything in a box as opposed to like miniature supplements.
Yeah.
You know, the boxes sell 1,000 times better. And Games Workshop has really ramped that up. I think that they've released a box set every week for the last like 2 months, like a large box set too.
It's a lot of box
not
sets.
Even like a small, like, and not even like a two player box set. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But they've released a fuck ton of these box sets lately, and some of them are cool, but it's at the same time I can't shell out that amount of money. That's a lot of fucking money. You know, they've done the new Aeronautica, which is Space Marines versus Eldar, and Aeronautica is actually kind of a fun game. Not super competitive, not like a tourney game, but it's a fun game. They've done Underworlds. I looked at the new box set. I was like, I can't do it. I just, the amount of money for what you're getting, there's no way. It's not worth it to me.
All right, fair enough.
And so I think I'm gonna hold off on this edition. I might be done with Underworlds as a whole. And then they released the new fucking what's it called? Warcry box set. And which is really weird to me because they just did a box set last year for Warcry. They did Catacombs last year,
right?
Which as far as I know, did not sell well. I think that people weren't really digging that aesthetic. But the new one looks like it's more of like a return to form of the old one. It's got some great terrain in there. And but they announced it and it's coming out like a week later.
Yeah. Isn't there like another there's also a Gene Stealer Cults box set too, I saw. Yeah.
And that's coming out in another couple weeks. It's like Gene Stealers versus Custodes, because as we all know, the ancient rivalry between the Gene Stealers and the Custodes.
And the Custodes. Yes. Yeah. The ancient rivalry that we've now written into the canon so we can sell this box set.
Yeah. And it's like, I think in the box set there's like 10 Custodes and like a ton of Gene Stealers. Like, it's like, that doesn't even seem relatively fair. Like, the Custodes are written so that one can destroy like an entire Gene Stealer cult.
There's the sisters box set as well, I think.
Yeah, well, that one already came out, didn't it?
I don't know. I'm just trying to think of like how many box sets have been like
There's definitely the sisters box set that came out. There's the new orc box set that came out, the limited edition orc box set. There is the what's it called? Orc sisters. Oh, the new Age of Sigmar 3.0 that came out. Yes. Yeah. There's a new Blood Bowl coming out. They're doing Dungeon Bowl. It's underground Blood Bowl. It's a throwback.
Sounds sweet.
Yeah. So back in the day, like the first edition of Blood Bowl, there was a Dungeon Bowl expansion for it way back in the day. But this looks like it could be interesting. I still think Blood Bowl is a great game to play if you want like a very self-contained game. Dungeon Bowl looks a little much, but it's still interesting enough. It looks like a dungeon crawl version of Blood Bowl, if that makes sense.
That does not make sense, but it sounds intriguing.
Mm-hmm. Every team is handpicked by a wizard from one of the 8 colleges, so you have all manner of racist positions playing for both sides. Ooh. So like one of the draws is that the teams that are going to be released for Dungeon Bowl have like Dark Elves and Skaven playing together, or ogres and dwarves with some goblins and shit like that.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's like a mixed race team.
That's pretty cool.
So weird to fucking say in 2021, but it's true. Mixed fantasy race team. How about that?
There you go.
That should save me from woke Twitter.
Yes, you'll be lambasted. You're being lambasted as we speak. They've already canceled you.
They have already canceled you. And Shadow Throne is the one with the Gene Stealer cult and Custodes and or Custodes.
Cancel the classy is trending on Twitter now.
Ah, fuck.
Hashtag cancel the classy. It's trending. 4 people tweeted it. It's over. We're done.
Well, 4 people. That's like our entire listening audience.
That's what I'm saying. It's over. We're done.
Oh, and the Black Templar box came out this year too.
At least the Blemplars.
Yeah. So I mean, I know that most people are only gonna play like one of these things, but it's just like a fuck ton of box sets. And like
I think they figured out. Well, I would need to see numbers, but I need to see the numbers.
Open the book.
Give me the numbers. Give me the numbers. Throw some numbers at me. What's that? That's from that gay porn. Throw some numbers at me. Okay. Have you ever seen that clip? It's fucking legendary. It's so good.
Maybe, I don't know.
Oh man, if I can find it, I'll send it to you. It's fucking hilarious. But anyway, I completely lost where I was at.
It was Show Me the Numbers box set. They figured out.
Oh yeah, yes. So they figured out that my guess is that, you know, they released a box set and there was like 300 of this box set sold, right?
Yeah.
I think they figured out that there's probably people who didn't buy that box set because they didn't actually care for the box set. So there's money being left on the table by only releasing this one box set instead of releasing 10 box sets. Because if there's, I have no idea how many people play Warhammer. There's probably a fuck ton, but just for an example number, like 2,000 people are expected to play this game. So if we have 2,000 players, and our 300 count box set gets bought up, and we're not hearing complaining, that means that that box set was only in, you know, was only desired by 300 people. So let's release an elf versus goblin, and then also a, you know, space marine versus tau box set. And then, oh, we sold 600. So clearly, like, we're, you know, that, so they're just kind of like just dumping product to see what, to see what sticks. And I think a lot of manufacturers were doing that recently. They're just like, because like Magic, there's been so many Magic releases, like so many Magic releases, like way more than is normal.
Yeah, like I could see that. The and I'm with you on that. There's a I just find it weird because Games Workshop has been complaining about the ability to get shit like cardboard and shit like that, yet they're releasing all these boxes that are very relatively heavy on that.
I think it was a whole bunch of cards and stuff too, because like that's the thing. There's so many different grades of cardboard. Like some of that cardboard is super hard to come by. Some of that cardboard is not super hard to come by.
You get the box set. You get the new like Red Harvest box set, and you go in to open up the box, and instead of like lifting the lid, your hands just go through the cardboard. It crumples right into it.
It's just this rice paper. Like, this is rice paper.
It's like it's printed on Chinese newspaper.
How did you do this? It looked like a box.
Oh, Dao Zhaiping died. Oh, God, no, I shouldn't have said that. Now the Chinese are going to come and get me. They're going to cancel me on Twitter.
They don't have Twitter.
They don't have Twitter in China? No. I don't know what they have in China or not.
I don't think Twitter's... Maybe they do, actually. They might actually have Twitter. I'm not sure.
Well, I'm sure that most of, like, most people in China do not have Twitter. However, the government has access to Twitter to allow, you know, their Twitter farms to go on and put, like, pro-China content out on Twitter.
True.
For the tankies.
True. The tankies gotta have it.
Tankies gotta have their China. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, if you're gonna go all tanky, why would you go Chinese tanky? That just
because you're too cowardly to go Soviet.
Too cowardly to go Soviet. Just right. Steve standing outside in the rain going, coward.
You cowards. I'm in the big Russian hat.
Yes, the big furry hat.
Big furry hat. I'm like, you cowards. I'm just like walking down the cul-de-sac in the rain, just screaming out like cowards. And there's a dude looking at his Chinese flag, and then he like looks over, and there's a fucking like classic Soviet flag.
Then he sheds a tear.
Yes. Oh man, fuck. I like it. It was good.
Good times. So yeah, well, oh, the box set stuff. Yeah, it just seems like very counterintuitive, at least from a business standpoint. Now I know that Games Workshop is not a business. They are a models company. They don't understand economics and all that stuff. But it seems to me like you'd have these big releases to maybe pump them up a little bit more, or else it could be the opposite of Curse City, where they're like, we're not going to pump these up because we don't have the inventory for them, so we just pump them up enough so that they sell what we have, and it's not going to have like a huge demand for it.
Well, padding the release schedule is as viable an answer as any, really.
Yeah, but I mean, that would make it seem like Games Workshop has some sort of business sense, which, as we all know, they do not. They make all their money from mobile games, from Warhammer 40K mobile games.
Play Titan Apocalypse now.
Actually, the Night Titan game that they had was pretty fun. I'll be the first to admit that. I like that game. But all of their other 40K mobile games have been terrible.
For the most part, I think you're right. They're usually reskins of other games. Yeah. So sometimes they're okay.
I think that for the two 40K games that need to exist on for mobile platform is there should be kind of a Dawn of War port for mobile. but they'll never do it because, well, I guess you could add microtransactions, but yeah, mobile games do not exist without the concept of microtransactions. You'll never have a non-microtransaction mobile game available. And
well, not entirely true. There's like board game ports don't have microtransactions generally.
Yes, you are correct on that one.
Like they kind of do because they have their expansions, but those aren't the same as, you know, buying gacha tickets.
Yeah. And then the other one, of course, is I would really love a Battlefleet Gothic mobile game. Like a good Battlefleet Gothic mobile game.
That there was a good Battlefleet Gothic mobile game.
I don't
game
think
out.
It was ever released for the mobile. I think it was a strict Steam game, like Armada. Yeah, I think that was just a Steam game.
I see. Okay, because I remember that was like that was the one that like everyone was like, this is the one. Like,
yeah, it's a fantastic game. It just it could have been on mobile.
I got it. Okay.
Yeah, that's the problem. Is like the games that people want to play mobily, you can't because they're only available on Steam unless you have like a mobile Steam player on your phone. But that's too complicated for me.
Like the Shadespire game is a perfect example of a game that like, wow, like I can't believe that game's not on phones.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Exactly it. That would be the best game in the world to play on your phone because you don't even have to like if you're playing two people, like let's say it could be like Words with Friends with me and you. Like I could make my move and play my cards or whatever, and then it goes to your turn, and you know you might not do it right away, but you could do it, and then I'll catch it later that you've done that. You know what I'm saying? It's like it doesn't have to be like real time. Like we have like, okay, we're gonna sit and we're gonna play this game right now.
Oh, you can make a play by post version, basically. Yeah,
exactly. And then you could look it up, and you're like, what did Steve do? God damn it!
I like that. No, yeah, that's a good idea because you can have live play because you can just sign up for. You know, a game that has, you know, live play, which will have like the turn timer. And so like you're expected to play a full game if you're on live play.
Yeah.
Or you can do the play by post version, which is just, you know, just turns are you have an infinite timer for your turn, essentially.
Yeah. And I think that would be, you know, and but here's the thing. I'm also old. I'm 40 years old at this point.
I'm old.
My bones hurt. it doesn't. For me personally, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Like I to not have more games that are slower. Let's put it that way. Slower for us old fucks. I like a fast paced game. Don't get me wrong. But if I'm sitting there on my phone, this is something that I'm doing like on a break from work, like from my job. I was too old to become a YouTuber. And I was too young to have a one of those good cushy office jobs. So I can't play video games for a living. I can only play them when I get an opportunity to. And it would be nice to just be able to pick up something and play it on my break. That's a little, you know, more fun. And that's a little, you know, I could play by play. And even I would even buy a version of that game without ads and without having to buy, you know, expansion packs or whatever. But let me buy the full game for $30 and not worry about having to buy microtransactions, you know, like just give me a full game and I will play it or pay for it if I want to, you know, it's a pain in the ass, but whatever.
It's a pain in the ass. I'm old. Can't you see that?
I'm old.
Oh, that's good.
Oh yeah, every day it's just something new with me. It's just like, why does my knee hurt all of a sudden? What did I do? I didn't do anything. My knee shouldn't be popping like this. I do. I've been exercising every morning. I run a mile and then I you know will lift weights for whatever day it is, whatever right. You know, if it's leg day, arm day, whatever. And I was working on chest and I was doing these overhead weight lifts, whatever they call it. I don't remember what the exact name is. I don't really care that much. But when I was doing it, all of a sudden my shoulder started like popping like randomly. And it's like, and I was like, it's never done this before. I don't know what's happening. You know, and it's not like I was doing this incorrectly. I had someone telling me, no, you're doing it correctly. Your shoulder shouldn't be doing that.
Sweet. That's always a good thing to hear.
Yes. You know, you got to keep up with when you had a broken back. You got to make sure that you're alive.
Yeah, right.
That you will live a little bit longer than normal. One other thing I wanted to talk about today before we left out, we're running low on time. Not terribly, but we are. Apparently, I don't think we talked about how Games Workshop actually took a stock hit recently. Their earnings were not anywhere near where they needed to be. And one of the things that, you know, aside from Brexit, COVID and other things, was apparently Warhammer Plus has not been what they designed it to be, has not been the success that they wanted it to be. I feel bad because, you know, it could have been successful, but we laid it out right at the beginning of why it would not be successful.
Right.
They should have used a platform that already existed. And something that's accessible to a lot of people. Warhammer Plus, I don't even know how to access Warhammer Plus. Is it an app? Is it like a website? What is it? Like, no one has ever explained, like, no media that I've gotten from Warhammer Plus, from Warhammer community has ever explained exactly how to get to Warhammer Plus. Like, if they said, it's an app for your phone. Oh, sweet. I enjoy an app for my phone, but no one ever said that. Like, it's a specific website that you have to go to. Oh, okay. That kind of sucks for mobile users, but what, I could do that on my desktop, I guess.
Well, they said it was going to be an app. They did. They were like, yeah, it's going to be an app.
Like, yeah, I mean, but it's like no one ever talks about it, like download for your phone today. I got no idea what's going on.
The super confusing part was the fact that they had a bunch of already existing apps that were going to go away, and yeah. that did go away. Yeah. That was confusing because people were like, but I already pay for Azure. Like, yeah. So I'm not going to have Azure anymore. Is that what you're saying? I have to get this Warhammer Plus.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. And people are like, what the fuck's going on? I have no concept. And so... Now, if you look at Warhammer community, whenever they talk about Warhammer Plus, it's kind of smacks of desperation at this point. And I feel bad about that because I never, you know, I would like it to succeed. I don't need it to be like super successful, but, you know, I know I don't like seeing things fail. That makes me sad, especially because all of the content that I've seen for it has been pretty cool. Like the cartoons I've seen, the animes that I've seen for the Hammer and Bolter stuff and Angels of Death have all been pretty cool. I've liked that, especially from the leaked ones that I've seen that have been ripped off the website, which is, you know, it's sad. But I still think they should have went through Twitch. I think that they should have made Twitch their official like streaming service.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they could have made a fuck ton more money going through Twitch.
Maybe my guess is that Twitch is probably taking too much of a cut. That's probably what their bean counters were like, well, if we just did our own platform, we wouldn't have to pay this percentage to Twitch.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to think that there's some economic genius working behind the scenes who looked at like, okay, we'd have this many Twitch subscribers, we would get this much money if we had our own, and we had, you know, we'd probably lose a chunk of subscribers, but we'd still make this much more money and keep this percentage. However, more than likely, whatever person was in charge of that went, well, if everyone on Twitch subscribed to Warhammer Plus, it's like, that's not going to happen. I subscribe to Twitch because it's literally the easiest thing in the world to do. There's like no, there is no, it's not hard to do.
Yeah, I mean, hell, I think most phones just come with it installed now, right?
Yes, and it's a very simple platform that everyone knows. Mm. You know, I'm glad it's not YouTube because I hate fucking YouTube. it's a horrible platform. It used to be good, but now it is just trash. It's a trash platform. Twitch is still a decent platform. You can still do everything live. You could do live streams and all that fun stuff. And you could have like we're debuting this show at this time, you know, join the live watch party and people can participate in there and, you know, draw their assy dicks on the side.
They're Among Us ASCII dicks now.
I was reading, someone was talking about how in the new Space Jam movie, Bugs Bunny turns into Big Chungus.
Yes.
And the guy was like, I've never seen a 10-year-old laugh that hard in their entire life. He had to like leave the theater because he had to catch his breath. And I'm like, that's what it's all about, really. You could hate the Big Chungus, but you know, it's all about the 10-year-olds just having their own humor.
10-year-olds getting obliterated by Big Chungus memes.
Big Chungus memes. Well, I don't know if I've said this in the podcast before, but my wife was like, you don't understand our daughter's sense of humor. And I'm like, oh no, I understand 10-year-old sense of humor. And I go, what they do nowadays is they walk up in the hallways to each other. They don't say anything, but they make up fucking words. They'll be like Shazoo. And then they'll, you know, that's what they'll do to each other. And they find that funny. And as I said that, my daughter just starts busting out laughing. And I'm like, you see, like her sense of humor is so abstract and weird. We'll have no concept of how it works.
That's pretty funny.
Like 10-year-olds right now are the living embodiment of deep fried memes, you know, like they just don't.
they're surreal memes.
They are surreal memes.
Are they surreal memes? Because surreal memes is pretty good. Surreal memes is like, it's like there is the chair. We've sat in the chair, three legs.
Exactly. No, that's exactly it. They are living surreal memes. They don't. Like they'll walk around each other and just be like, I'll walk by my daughter's room and she and two friends will be in there and they'll just be saying to each other, foot, 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 foot. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
I just imagine you like hearing and just like starting to sweat. You're like, what the fuck is happening?
What the fuck is happening? It's a foot. No, but I mean, I have enough concept of the 10-year-old sense of humor that I just, it goes, you know, it's like I get that I don't get it, if that makes sense.
Yes, fair enough.
So also speaking of getting it, did you you watched Dune finally, right?
I did watch Dune.
And what did you enjoy the Dune?
It was good. Yeah, I liked it. It was you know, I'm not a huge fan of the actor playing Paul Atreides, but
you don't like Timmy?
I do not really, I'm not a fan of that kid. I think
you're not a fan of him in this movie because it's 2021 and we still have fucking white man savior tropes in our movies. And we're just like, whoa, holy shit. I thought we were past this as a society, but I guess not.
No, I don't even think it was that for me. Like I just don't. Yeah, he's just off-putting. Yeah. That actor is just off-putting to me. Like in that role, I don't know. It's like
you just want a Kyle MacLachlan.
Yeah, I mean, I want Kyle MacLachlan. I just they should have just made it Kyle MacLachlan. I don't care if he was super. I don't care if he was too old. It should have been Kyle MacLachlan.
I was watching the movie. I watched it again last night. I was just like, I was so pissed. I was like, they made all of House Atreides white, and they made all the fucking Fremen brown and black. This is fucking wrong on every fucking level. Like, yes, I get lots of different reasons why what's what, but it's still like, it's 2021. We shouldn't be doing it this way.
Just say it's current year.
It's current year. We shouldn't be doing it this way.
There you go.
I guess Denis Villeneuve felt like he's like, this is Donald Trump's America. We'll do it this way. But I was just like, fuck, but it's still a good movie. The weird thing about Dune and watching it was like, I'm sitting there going like, this is the perfect adaptation of Dune. It's a near identical adaptation. Like, yes, they cut out a lot of it, but like a lot of the subtlety stuff. But I was like, this is a beat for beat retelling of the book Dune, right? Mm. They are not deviating from many things in many ways. And I'm just still like, at the same time, I'm like, I should be super happy that I'm getting this really wonderful adaptation of Dune. But at the same time, I'm kind of like, it's not telling me anything that David Lynch didn't tell me in 1984.
It's true. And also, David Lynch had immediate results with Underpants Sting.
Yes. Yeah. I know you were upset that no Underpants Sting in this movie.
Yes. But he's supposedly going to be in part two.
Well, not Sting, but yes.
Well, yeah, the kill.
Fade Rautha will be in part two.
Yes, I need to see who they think can fill Sting's G-string.
It's going to be one of the boys from One Direction, so it could be Harry Styles versus Timothée Chalamet.
I would not like that.
No, you don't want him. You don't want
I would not like that. I do not want a One Direction. I do not want a One Direction sting.
What if it's one of that Korean pop band? What are they? Who are they? The big one.
Dude, there's so many big ones. There's like
the big one. The one that with all the fans.
D12, B12.
No. What's the big fucking Korean pop band? I know you know it, fucking weeb.
Bro, that's not Japan.
Yeah, but I mean, it's close enough.
No, it's not. Hang on. Let me see what this fucking I'm actually gonna look this up.
Well, just, of course. Just, BTS, that's what they are.
The McDonald's band.
Yeah, the biggest, the fucking biggest band in the world. Like literally, like they, I think that they're like,
Seyun. That's Seyun. I stand Seyun. Yes.
Whatever. Seyun? Yeah. Is that a person who's in the band?
Yeah. Yes, that's one of the people in the band. That's the only name I remember. But I remembered that name.
Are you sure? Because it says that there's Jin, Suga, J-Hope, RM, Jimin, V, and Jungkook.
Well, then I must have my K-pop Korean boy bands swapped around.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I don't know if it's racist for me to say this, but they all look identical.
No, that's the usual. That's the usual boy band trope. They always I think that's just a boy band thing. All the boy bands look the same.
Yeah,
isn't it?
I mean, maybe it's just like the filter that they put on this video, but I think that you could take any of their faces and put it on the other boys and they would look nearly identical.
Usually do the same makeup, the same outfits.
Yeah, they have different hair colors, but that's it. They all have like the same haircut.
Yes. Yes. Like, yes. Yeah, that's usually the style. Like,
however,
their own.
In current year, I feel bad for saying this because, of course, you know, they're a different ethnicity from me. And that does sound relatively racist for me to say they all look the same. And I understand that and I apologize. But at the same time, they do all kind of look the same. They all have the same haircut. They all have the same makeup on. They all have had the same plastic surgery. It's a thing. I do feel bad about that. But you don't want a member of BTS to be Fade Rautha in the new movie?
Well, maybe a member of BTS. Maybe. That could be different.
Yeah, I don't know who they could cast. I don't know a young enough actor that they could cast for that part that would be, that's going to work as well. I can't, in my head, I can't cast it. I just don't know anymore. I don't know that many young actors in Hollywood, I guess, that I would put in that role. Of course, me and you would just be like, we'll just have Sting do it again.
Yeah, just make it Sting. Like, have you guys considered Sting, perhaps?
I don't know why we can't use the original radioactive man. I keep telling you, he's 85 years old and he's dead. It's what, the original radioactive man.
Post Malone. We'll Post Malone do it.
Yeah, we'll Post Malone. Oh my god.
Yeah, just the camera pans up and it's Post Malone's hairy ass legs and it just pans up and he's in the Sting underwear thing and it's just Post Malone.
It does make me angry that Post Malone is as famous as he is, for multiple reasons. Like, it's like his music ain't that great. He doesn't. He's not a very handsome gentleman. Like I've been told he's that relatively nice, so that's positive. Like, he's a nice guy.
All right,
overall,
well, that's good.
That's what I've been told, is that he's very nice. But you know, it's and I guess that's good. If a nice person becomes famous, that's good. But it's kind of you wonder how they got famous in begin with. Before is it just because he was a nice guy? I don't fucking know. Fucking BTS. You made me look up BTS on my computer.
But it was worth it. It was worth it.
Fucking, you know. And then there's a bunch of people who are listening to the podcast, not a bunch, but like a dozen, who are like, it's fucking BTS. And you should feel ashamed to yourselves for knowing that it was BTS before we looked up that it was BTS. Keep that in your head.
Hey, they can stand some yolk or whatever. It's all good.
Yeah. So
there was a BTS McDonald's meal.
So yeah, I did, getting back to Dune, I did really like the movie. I have the movie should have been renamed to Large Spaceships Landing Daintily. like, because there was so many shots of large spaceships landing daintily. It got distracting for a while. After you realize like how many shots of spaceships landing there are in that movie, you're just like, whoa, this is weird.
There's a lot of spaceships landing.
They spent a lot of time on spaceships landing in this movie. And I was talking with Kevin from Comic Book Logic, and he was just like, that's my favorite part of the movie. It's just like spaceships landing and then people walking in front of those landing spaceships. That's my second favorite part of that movie.
That's awesome.
Yeah, there was that, and then there was a lot of people just whispering. The movie is just full of people whispering.
There was a lot of whispering, like some of those Baron Carconin scenes. I was like, what the fuck is he saying? Like, can't fucking understand it. Goddamn.
Talk like this the entire thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very, very odd, the amount of whispering in that movie. I'm like, I know that they want to go for realism and bring you in close in the scene, and he does a great job with it. Like when people are whispering like that, he gets up to those close-ups of the people's faces. So you really you're drawn into the whispering and the way he frames those shots. He really brings you into it. Because he's a brilliant fucking film director, and his filmography, is all really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
But it's too much whispering. It's too much. And I also think it does lose out on a lot of the the fucking voiceover from the David Lynch version. The voiceover in the David Lynch version over explains everything.
Yes.
Like I was watching the seeker scene last night, and the little needle that burrows through this wall and goes to try and attack him.
Yes.
And I just think of the David Lynch scene where he's like, it's a seeker. It's out to kill me. If I make one move, it'll come and attack me. And in this one, it's absolute silence for the 5 minutes of it going on. Yeah. So there's people in the theater going, what the fuck is that? What's going on? Holy fucking shit. I don't fucking know. It's like there's the level of dumb people who need the David Lynch voiceover to explain everything in the fucking movie. I think maybe that might be something that we can market, is like we watch a movie and then we just explain everything in a podcast, like as the movie's going on, like, okay, so at this part of the movie, this is what's going on. And so that way people could be like, oh, like they can listen to the podcast, explain to them what they're watching in the movie.
Oh, so like a watch along, but instead of it just being our reactions, it's just us explaining.
Yes, it's just us explaining to dumb people what's going on in the movie.
I like it.
And so then they put on they'll put on our version of Mulholland Drive, and it's just us going, your guess is as good as ours.
Yeah, I think this one is about I don't know, the vulnerability of being a human.
No, it's everything David Lynch does is a ceremony to access left hand magic. I've said that before.
What is that music?
What's that music? What's going on? Oh my god, that guy came out from behind the dumpster and it's terrifying.
Yeah, that part was terrifying.
It really is. It's the scariest moment in all of movie history. And I often wonder if my children will find it that scary if I show it to them. I'm never going to show them Mulholland Drive, but you know, I definitely would like them to experience that level of fear.
Yeah, that scene is pretty scary.
It really is, because of the buildup to it and the music that he's doing in the background. I think it has more to do with the music. I think the music is designed to like really stimulate that,
like unnerve you or whatever.
Not unnerve, but it's supposed to, like, I think it's really supposed to hit that hindbrain, that lizard brain part of us, where it's like whatever they're doing with the tones and the frequency is just fucking with our heads, right? So, like, I think if you just took that music that's going behind there, that whatever that tonal sound that they're doing, and you put it on like anything, it would terrify you, because it's supposed to do that. It hits that part of the brain.
Interesting. Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. It's definitely weird. And like, if I'm not mistaken, that's like the only weird thing that happens in that movie, right? Like no. Straight up.
Well, that's the only straight up terrifying thing that happens.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, but
there's lots of weird shit that happens in that movie. Yeah. Fucking David Lynch, dude.
Right.
Yeah, but anyway.
I kind of want to watch Mulholland Drive now.
Yeah, well, you should. Mulholland Drive is a movie that it's worth revisiting about every 5 years. And I'm definitely due to rewatch Mulholland Drive.
Maybe I'll do that myself.
I definitely think it's David Lynch's best David Lynch movie. Some people will go Lost Highway. Lost Highway, definitely a great, crazy David Lynch movie. But I think Mulholland Drive is his magnum opus. But that's just me.
Lost Highway had a really banging soundtrack.
It had a banging cast. Yeah. I know a lot of people love Eraserhead. Eraserhead is to quote The Simpsons, it's very Pomo. Weird for the sake of weird.
Pomo.
I think he is looking. He was doing something there. And it's there. I just don't like Eraserhead that much.
The thing that cracks me up about anything David Lynch is I just like to imagine him explaining something in his voice, because he's just got that weird, like, kind of high pitched, like very forceful voice.
Yeah.
And I just like to imagine
him,
like,
I don't think you're supposed to understand what's going on.
Yes. Yeah. He kind of sounds like the dude from the Jukebox Money.
Yeah, he sounds a little bit like Fred Schneider from the B-52s.
Yes. So kind of sounds like that. So I like to imagine him, like, explaining things in, like, a really shitty fashion, like, to someone who's like, no. See, what you thought was this deep meaning about astral signs was actually that I was hungry for a donut that day. So,
well, I think of David Lynch, I always, Eli Roth is good friends with David Lynch, and he was talking about helping to restore, like, Eli Roth was talking about how he helped restore an original print of Eraserhead. Mm-hmm. He was helping do a Eraserhead, and he was like, he would sit next to David Lynch as they're, like, going through frame by frame, and he'd say, "Hey, David, in this," and then David Lynch would be like, "I'm not explaining anything." So I think that's the thing, is, like, David Lynch will never explain his work, but I personally believe that David Lynch, in all of his movies, is doing, each movie is a ceremony, is an occult ceremony to do something, you know. It is, he's very much into the occult, and that Aleister Crowley occult stuff too, where everything is a ceremony, except, you know, David Lynch is just, you know, having 20 men masturbate onto a biscuit and then eating it in order to do something or other. His stuff is all film, just like David Bowie. Hell, his stuff was all musical. All of Bowie's, like, you know, his second, third, and fourth albums were all occult rituals. And probably some of his later ones as well. Black Star is definitely an occult ritual. But David Lynch's movies are all occult rituals. And I believe all of Twin Peaks is also an exploration into those rituals and what it can achieve. Thank you for coming to my TED talk.
that was a TED talk. Legit. Yes,
I won't explain any further. Ask any questions.
Look, I was captivated. I was completely spellbound.
Well, I mean, if you go into actual occult ritual, you'll see that it's all about, like, going into the Black Lodge and meeting up with the dwarf and the giants, and it's just like, wait, what? That's literally what David Lynch was showing in Twin Peaks, and it's like, yes, it is. Yeah, I firmly believe it is an occult ritual, but
I like it. I like, you know, it. I was enraptured by your TED talk. It was very enjoyable.
Yeah, I would definitely. Who's the person who wrote the fucking book? There's a couple books on left hand magic that are out there. I would have to look it up if you are actually really interested. You read the books on what left hand magic is and the rituals that are used and what they're trying to achieve. Then you go and watch all David Lynch's stuff, and you're like, oh, holy fucking shit. But, you know, that could also just be the English major in me reading into shit. But but you also know that David Lynch is, like, kind of really into the occult stuff. He hangs out with Bowie. This is what he's trying to achieve, except instead of, like, David Bowie being this suave omnisexual man from London, David Lynch is this crazy neurotic guy from middle of Ohio. So.
Yes.
But anywho, I think that's about it for this week. Did you watch any good horror for Halloween?
I actually, what I watched on Halloween was Dune. Yeah. I was like, I take it back. I watched Creepshow season 3.
Ooh, was it good?
Yes, yes. The Creepshow remains quite good. The overall quality, I'd say, is solid. There's two stories per episode, and that, let's just say that it's good that there's two stories per episode, because there's definitely some that are not so great. But overall, like, the overall quality is really good, and it still has my absolute favorite horror story I think I've ever heard or seen in any form of media ever, and it's kind of the most perfect horror movie concept. But I don't know if I've talked about it with you, but the episode is called The House of the Head.
Yeah.
And it's a little girl gets a dollhouse, and this is really nice antique dollhouse, and there's a family in the dollhouse, and then at one point she sees there's this fucking creepy looking decapitated head in the dollhouse, but it's dollhouse sized. So, like, it looks like a decapitated doll head, and it's like fucking freaky looking because, you know, it looks all like rotten and like gross. And she's like, what is this? And then slowly but surely, she's watching a horror movie play out in her dollhouse of this doll family being tormented by this decapitated head monster.
That sounds interesting enough.
The whole entire concept is that, like, there's no deviation, like, she is never in like direct danger, like the threat is not in the real world, it's only completely localized in the dollhouse. It's really well done.
It sounds like it. I actually I did on a Halloween itself, I mostly watched the Joe Bob this year did his Halloween, and I saved it for Halloween. The first one, not a great Halloween movie. It was Angel, which is actually a really good movie, but it's not a very good Halloween movie.
Okay.
And then because David Gordon Green picked it, and he had David Gordon Green on, who did Halloween Kills, which is
what's Angel?
Yeah.
What's the story for Angel?
Student by day, hooker by night. It's a sexploitation movie about this high school student who works the streets of LA at night, and there's a serial killer on the loose targeting hookers. It's actually a really good movie. Like, it had no right to be as good as it is. There's a fight scene in it between the serial killer, who at that point shaved his head to look like a Hare Krishna, and a cross-dressing hooker on the street, played by this old actor, where they fight in this apartment, and it's a wonderful fight scene, way better than almost the fight scene in They Live.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. That's high praise.
And then they also did Terror Train, which the Jason Blumhouse came on and did and wanted them to watch Terror Train, which is a much better Halloween movie, not a very good movie. It's, you know, it came out like 2 years after Halloween, and it's kind of like a much lesser Jamie Lee Curtis film, but it does have David Copperfield being very smoldery in his only acting role.
I mean, that's kind of cool.
Yes. And you watch it, and you're like, holy shit, David Copperfield's fucking hot. Dang, David Copperfield. You know? I think it's before he married. I think he married Claudia Schiffer, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Did he?
Definitely before David Copperfield married Claudia Schiffer. But then I did watch Trilogy of Terror, which, if you've never seen Trilogy of Terror, totally watch that one. That's the
I think I've seen Trilogy of Terror.
You had, because that's the one with the Zuni Warrior fetish doll and Karen.
Oh, Black. Yes.
The very classic Zuni Warrior fetish doll.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the only one really worth watching in that entire Trilogy of Terror. That's why Trilogy of Terror is not really looked fondly on as one of those anthology movies. Because anthology movies, you have to have two out of three be good to be a good anthology. And Trilogy of Terror only really has one out of three.
You're not wrong.
Yeah, he was married to Claudia Schiffer, by the way, up until 1999. So there you go. But definitely, the trilogy of terror. If you just watch the Zuni Warrior Fetish Doll one, it is fucking amazing. It's so great, and it's, I think I want to say it was a made for TV movie back in the day. Not 100% on that one, but yeah, I believe it originally was a made for TV movie, and that was a wonderful one to watch on Halloween. Mm. But now I kind of want to talk about David Copperfield, because he was really in that movie.
He's cast a spell on you.
He has. And my wife hates magic in any way, shape, or form. I absolutely adore magic and magic shows and close-up magic. I am just one of those guys who absolutely loves the illusion of it. But so, like, watching David Copperfield, I'm like, ooh, David Copperfield.
He's going to make the Statue of Liberty disappear.
He's going to make the Statue of Liberty disappear, which is great. The Statue of Liberty disappearance is one of my favorite television specials as a kid. That, when he walked through the Great Wall of China. also, fantastic. And you know what? I know it's fake. I know it's not real magic, but I don't care. It's the illusion of it. Like, that's what I want to see. Don't ruin that for me.
Don't ruin this for me.
This is all I have. I'm 40 years old. I'm dying. Every part of me is dying. I feel it every day.
All I have left now is my latent David Copperfield obsession.
Yeah, and my love of magic. I don't like Chris Angel as much, because I think he's more about the personality and not the magic. I like the magic. That's what I don't care about your personality. I just want to see the magic.
Yeah, he's about the mind freak.
The mind freak. I do like, however, watching Chris Angel television specials where he's doing on the street magic and making people freak out, that does make me laugh when I watch that.
Yeah, like, it's pretty good.
Seeing the people freak out about the magic, that's always a great laugh.
Yeah.
And I do like Penn and Teller as well. I don't like maybe them personally, but I do like their magic shows.
Yes, their magic shows are very good.
Yes. But aside from that, all right. Everybody go to our Game Classy Facebook page. It's the best way you can get in contact with us. You can like, comment, subscribe on the iTunes. You can like, comment, subscribe on the YubTubs. I put them up there eventually. I just don't care as much about YouTube. It's awful. Everyone should be ashamed if they watch YouTube for anything other than, you know, vintage tool restorations, which is all I watch for.
I love YouTube. I ain't gonna shill you if you're watching YouTube right now. You can watch your VTuber. You know, we watch a little Corone, watch a little Maury Calliope, you know. We got to support the girls out here.
I personally think everybody on every YouTuber out there is horrible, and that includes us. I understand the irony of that statement, and I will gladly put us on there, since we are on YouTube, as two horrible people who you should not listen to.
I will stand VTubers once again, and everyone should watch Hololive.
You love your VTubers. I understand that. I just hate people. See, I just hate them. I hate them so much.
I hate them
with every ounce of my soul. These people who go on there and they're like, smash the comment, and subscribe button, you know, like, smash that like button.
Smash that bell to get notifications.
Yeah, get notifications. And they don't talk about anything of any use whatsoever.
I guess I don't really watch like personalities. I guess that's kind of weird. That's kind of weird. Like,
yeah.
If you're watching someone for not like a specific reason, that's kind of odd, I guess, on YouTube, maybe. I don't know.
And, well, it's like me being the old man that I am. I'm the type of guy that will just sit around, like, I'm one of those guys who will stand around a grill as someone's grilling, just kind of watch them grilling, and that's it.
that's kind of weird.
Yeah. No, I'm absolutely right. I would just sit there, you know, like with those group of guys, we're all standing around the grill, watching the grill as the guy's cooking the grill. Like, I'll watch Pat B, you know, grilling, you know, just keeping my opinion to myself, and maybe occasionally going like, looks like it's about ready to be flipped. And the guy next to me might be like, yeah, I think you're right. And that's our YouTube comment section right there. Our old man YouTube comment section.
This is a fucking David Lynch movie.
That's all it is. I really, the only thing I watch on YouTube currently is I watch restoration videos of vintage tools and things like that.
Some of the restoration videos on YouTube are fucking insane. Like there's like some of the metal restorations of, yep, like, I'm going to restore this lighter. Like I can't, I'm watching it. And I'm like, I watched the person do it. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure this person swapped this lighter.
Sometimes like, they do that. Like some of the shittier channels out of Russia do that. And I'm like, and there's some certain ones that are Russian that will like take something and then beat it up and then purposely beat it up in such a way that they can do an easy restoration on it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that. You got to get the guys that are out of Germany. Those are the good guys.
I see.
Yes.
No one who speaks German could be a monster.
No. What was it? I watched that. Like I watched this guy Baumgartner restoration. He restores art, right?
Mm-hmm.
He works in Chicago. He's a Chicago guy. He works right across the street from the Art Institute, and he restores, you know, classic artwork, like does all the restoration work. But the problem is he will sometimes get a little sanctimonious about what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. Like he talks too much. It's like, don't talk, just restore. Like, I don't want to hear your opinions on things. Like all of his opinions are on the art restoration part. Like he's like, I can't believe this person used this type of glue. And I was like, you know what? Keep your opinion to yourself. Just fix the fucking painting, you know? But you are right. He shouldn't have used that fucking glue. You are right, Baumgartner Restoration. But you just keep your opinion to yourself.
I like it.
That's me being an old man. So, anywho, we said the YouTube, so that like, comment, subscribe. Yeah, you could follow me on Instagram at Game Classy Joe. You could follow Steve on Twitter at @command_throw. Right.
That's right.
All right.
That is correct.
So Steve, until next time.
I started taking these apple cider vinegar gummies. They're sugar free. They're pretty good. I recommend them. They're from Orphic Nutrition. That's my final word of the day.
I just chug apple cider vinegar. It's good for the insides. Cleans you out.
Fair enough.
All right. Later.
Bye.
Game Classy.